This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Julian and Shanning. It is 7:18 in the morning and we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We're asking you on an individual level, do you feel that you are globally competitive? Do tell us why or why not, because we'll be taking a look at the results of the poll periodically throughout the morning. Aside from that, though, on the local front this morning, a panel of economists, policy experts and corporate figures have just released their first report on key policy suggestions for the government to achieve its recently announced Shared Prosperity 2030 initiative.
So this panel is known as the Kuala Lumpur Roundtable, and what they're pushing for are adopting a needs-based affirmative action policy, reducing the role of GLCs in the economy, as well as reforming the public sector services and increasing labour productivity. Very lofty ideals there.
Some of which are already in the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto, right? So it's, I guess, a way to push it forward. Now, other key suggestions include ensuring a fairer income for Malaysian workers, addressing the cost of living issues, and reducing the size of the public sector workforce.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning Ali Salman, CEO of the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, who attended the inaugural meeting to discuss these suggestions. Good morning, Ali. Thank you for joining us. So what's the purpose of setting up this KL roundtable?
Good morning. The idea has been actually providing the research and secretarial support for this roundtable. The main purpose is to bring senior economists, expert policymakers, and leading corporate figures on one table and crystallize some of the important policy suggestions, especially in the context of the long-term measures required in the context of shared prosperity, but also to come up with more short-term and immediate action items for the government for the upcoming budget and then the five-year Malaysia plan.
And one of your policy proposals to adopt a needs-based affirmative action, and that paired up with reducing the role of the GLCs in the economy. I think a lot of people are talking about, since the beginning of our history, is the racial imbalance, right? So how do you think such policies will square off with those fears?
In our recommendations, we have emphasized, the Kuala Lumpur Roundtable has emphasized on the need of reforming education sector in particular to achieve that. So we have recommended that education reforms are necessary to correct the divide in education attainment in the rural and urban areas in particularly. And also we have recognized that Malaysian government is already spending enough on the education. So it's not about the education spending level. It's about getting the maximum output from the spending we do, because the education attainments as compared with the education investment have been very low. And I think moving forward to address the race-based differences, it is important to improve the quality of education. But at the same time, the GLC reforms are necessary. And this is something which we acknowledge that the current government is shying away from. And therefore, we are bringing back to the agenda that this is something important. A thorough analysis of GLCs is necessary. Not that all GLCs are. It is not that all GLCs are involved with corrupt practices, but the analysis is necessary as to their social and economic and business role. We also said something about the improvement of public services, which is, I think, relatively a new suggestion, in which we are saying that instead of offering services at no cost or very low cost, for instance, in health, we need to rationalize these costs and include the idea that we need to increase the level of prices where the affordability can allow.
But Ali, you know, a lot of the suggestions here aren't new, right, and have been brought up by others. So how will the Kuala Lumpur Roundtable be able to influence the government's decision to adopt it?
And that's a very good point. I mean, in some cases, it is important to build consensus across the civil society. So you will find that many of these suggestions are not new. I agree with you, but it is important to build a consensus on, for instance, movement of shift away from the race-based to need-based. Even Tun Daim said yesterday about the same thing, that we need to move to the need-based affirmative action. So this affirmative action, this consensus is critical. But as far as the moving towards a more practical aspect, I think now we are working on fine-tuning some of these policy messages, and we are also in contact with some of the key government figures and the cabinet members who are interested in listening to this forum about how to implement some of these suggestions and how to prioritize, actually.
Now, we've discussed a bit reducing the role of GLCs in the economy. But for you, Ali, what of the suggestions made would be the most pressing one that the government should undertake immediately?
So if you look at the upcoming budget, and if you look at the rationalization of costs and also some of the social spending issues, I suggest that an immediate correction needs to be made in terms of the pricing of some public services, especially in the education and health, where we need to see where we can pay more. The prices of such services can be increased, and direct subsidies can be offered to those who need it on basis of their income profile. Also, the movement towards more capital-based industry and lesser reliance on the cheap and foreign labor is necessary, and this is something which government has been doing recently, but not enough action has been seen in this field. And I would also think that some of the labor reforms which have been introduced, at least at the level of proposals, are important to be put for a general debate. And this is something which the government has already prepared to take action.
Okay, let's look into Budget 2020. What would you like to see in this year's Budget 2020 announcement, which would sort of tie into some of the proposals that you have made?
What is important in the budget going forward is, first of all, a movement towards reduction of budget deficit. Current budget deficit is about 40 billion ringgit. And I think if we look at how the government has successfully negotiated some of the mega infrastructure projects costs is a good sign. But then the government also faces, of course, the problem in the reduction in the revenue itself through because of the movement from GST to SST. And so therefore, it is important to move towards more balanced budget. At the same time, it is critical that the no new taxes are introduced. And we are pleased to note that the finance minister has confirmed already that no new major taxes will be introduced, because this is the time to keep the local investors and the foreign investors interested in not only continuing their business but expand their business and to bring in more capital investment. So any of these measures which help the local economy to sustain their current operations and to expand them will be essential.
Thank you so much, Ali. And that was Ali Salman, CEO of IDEAS. Now, as he mentioned, also there has been some news out of Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng that there'll be no new tax measures for the upcoming Budget 2020. Now, Lim did say this during the National Tax Conference yesterday. And the 2020 budget is scheduled to be tabled in Parliament on the 11th of October, so not much longer now.
I think globally, policymakers are having their hands on the pulse to see what is going to come out of this trade war between the US and China. Our finance minister himself recognizes that the Chinese yuan stumble against the US dollar yesterday might have an effect on Malaysia. And we cannot deny that the actions of our trading partners would spill over into the Malaysian economy.
For sure, because China also happens to be our largest trading partner, right? So Lim yesterday reiterated that the budget will include contingencies should the trade disputes intensify. And but he's optimistic. He believes that the trade war could actually be resolved by the end of the year. He suggests a more patient approach to this, or as he calls it, a wait-and-see approach.
And he's also suggested that the Malaysian economy is demonstrating some signs of resilience because the World Bank, for one, has predicted our GDP will record about 4.6% this year. This is amid the difficult external challenges involved from the US-China trade war. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.